All right. Hello. Just testing my equipment. Testing my voice. Anybody who's been listening to the show, you know that I was very sick for a while. I seem to be clearing my throat a lot the last few hours. Not great for podcasting, but maybe great to get all the shit out of my lungs. Maybe. Maybe the more I talk, the more the stuff is going to come up and out. And hopefully I don't have pneumonia. Walking pneumonia? That's a thing, right? Like where you don't know you have pneumonia? It's a fun word to say now that I'm saying it a lot. Pneumonia? Pneumonia. It's a good word. I like it. Don't worry, Fish is here, so...
Pneumonia, I think, is actually how you're supposed to say it.
No.
No?
And it's actually way more fun to say pneumonia. Give it a try. Pneumonia.
No, I like pneumonia.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. I was also reminded today how funny I think it is to say the entire phrase, Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code.
Dan Brown's the Da Vinci Code.
The best-selling book of all time.
Is Dan it really? Brown's? I thought that was the Bible.
No, the reason I realized this was so funny is because someone on another Discord is an artiste, very Etsy style artiste, a graphic designer, if you will. They found out through being tagged on Instagram that someone was using their stickers to. I don't know if this is like a trend with the young people or what. But stickers to cover your Bible. She said, well, it looks like I'm cornering the market on stickers on Bibles. And I said, pretty bold of you to assume that you are cornering the market on stickers that go on the best-selling book of all time because you saw it once.
There's a market to be in. Like, and then, if you're going to put sticker, if you want to be on the stickers on any book market, the Bible's a pretty good, pretty high hopes, as they say.
And then I was like, this person probably thinks I'm being an asshole. So I was like, how can I turn this joke back on myself? And I was like, oh, sorry. I thought we were talking about Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code, which I think is a very funny
Dan Brown thing
to say. I wanted to call a cat Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code. I think that's a good name for a cat. If you're out there listening. You have a cat, you don't know what to name it. Or a kid. You don't have a kid, you don't know what to name it. Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code.
One word.
One word. That's the first name. Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code.
So then they can still have a middle name and a last name.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's what we did with our son. We gave him a weird first name and then a normal middle name. So if he ever decides he doesn't want to be named after a inanimate object. Also, I'm learning that as the distance we get away from what he's named after, that no one can guess what he's named after.
Oh no, right.
I have said now, oh my son, this is his first name, this is his last name. He's named after two villains from a video game. No one knows it. No one knows the answer. Or even better, I'll say that my son's first and middle name are two villains from a video game, and I did a lot of Dan and Bowser.
Yeah, exactly.
Nope.
Is it Sephiroth? I don't know.
Is it the ghost from Pac-Man Bowser? Nope.
It's Doug Bowser, actually. It's Doug Bowser.
His name is Doug Bowser. Mother 3, the villain is Doug. A lot of people don't know that.
So, like, going back to, I don't know what the kids are doing these days. I have officially entered that age of my...
Sorry, let's just back up a little bit. You were that age.
Fair enough.
You just didn't have evidence yet.
I tried to like not be that age.
Yeah.
But then my boss shared these TikToks of like explaining what emojis mean, like the secret meaning of emojis.
Oh no.
I was like, I'm uninstalling all emojis. We strayed too far from God when we abandoned gifts as a form of communication. And now we are paying for that.
Somebody told me the other day on another Discord that the thumbs up reaction is sarcastic.
Yeah.
And I said, no, you are a fucking adult. You do not have brain. I don't have the mental capacity to wonder what the fucking thumbs up emoji really means. Listen, I'm going to see a thumbs up emoji. I'm going to go, oh, yep, affirmative, thumbs up, and I'm going to go about my fucking day.
It's literally plus one. The emoji is literally, you type in colon, plus one, colon in Discord, and you get the fucking thumbs up emoji. Everything. Slacks too. So, the upside down face. Did you know that that's a passive aggressive, like, mean thing to do to someone?
No. Because no, why would I fucking care?
Eloquent.
Let me tell you this. If somebody fucking upside down happy faced my fucking thing, and then told me later, you know that I was being mean, that person would be cut out of my life. That's grounds for fucking divorce. No, somebody fucking reacted to a message and then later circled back to know that I know the real meaning. I would
just
never
so you know, old man, again. Fuck you as well.
Yeah, I would block this caller. That'd be the end of that. That person would no longer be in my life. I would run into that person in 4 years in a fucking duel, and they'd be like, "Who? Oh, no talk anymore." Yeah, because you used a fucking emoji wrong, you psychopath. Why would I talk? Why would I want you in my life? That's it. And I would. And you know what? That's no. Can't misconstrue that.
Yeah,
no, I blocked you from my life because you did that.
Yeah, I hope
you understand.
I don't get it. Kids, listen, we don't need to do this. I was, you know what? I was fine with Cap. I got it. I'm with you. Okay, no Cap. Sure. Great.
No.
I'm with you on that.
I don't know what that means.
It means not lying when you say Cap is like psych.
You want to hear something fucked up?
I'd love to hear something fucked up.
We gave my daughter got a phone for Christmas.
Right.
She burst into the living room crying. Like, what's happening? She shows me her phone. A kid, her friend, was like, I heard what you
the upside down face emoji.
No, I heard what you did to Lily, and I think you're a mean person. Don't talk to me ever again. And then, like, I was like, don't respond to it. I don't. What? Charlie, tell me the backstory here. She tells me some backstory about they stole a ball from her. She stole it back. I was like, okay, whatever. These kids are fucking bored. Then 45 minutes later, she gets another message. Oh, not like, well, so you don't talk to me? Wow, you really are. And I went, hey, this is Charlie's dad. Go ask your parents for a hug. I'm blocking. And also, we're blocking this number until you apologize to Charlie. That's there. Fuck this bitch. Get this fucking phone out of my face return it.
Get out of here.
So yeah, we already had to have the first, like, your friends are using it to, like, weapon, like, you know, as a weapon against you. Like, great, fucking cool, can't wait.
Dude, I'm just, like, not looking for, like, Finney does not have the concept yet that kids can be mean to each other.
Oh,
like,
no.
He's not there yet, and
the first time it happens, it's crazy. It's heartbreaking.
I can't. I don't even want to think about it.
Atlas is too pure for this world. He is too good. He is too good of a person.
Evil villain names.
Right. Well, that's what we were hoping for. We were hoping we were going to give him villain names, and then he would be.
And then he would be good.
Nice. Yeah.
And then he'd be a force for good.
No, yeah. Two negatives. Making a positive.
I'm familiar.
Well, we've been rambling. How was you went to my favorite restaurant in the world?
So we went there. I was like, all right, 6:15.
Hold on. You went to the Bavarian Lodge.
The Bavarian Lodge.
The suburbs of Chicago.
Yes.
Which is where I learned everything about craft beer.
Yes.
And is one of my favorite places. Not a joke.
We called first to see if there was a wait. The message that you get before you actually talk to someone is literally them telling you for 3 minutes the things that they do not do.
Yep.
They
have a manifesto on their website.
Yeah. And it's like, and I was just like thinking about every single one of these fucking bullet points has a story. There's around every, and even when we asked, we're like, do you guys have a wait? Like, we were 5 minutes out. I was like, is there any wait? And they're like, well, no, there's no wait right now, but I can't guarantee that when you get here, there's a wait. And it's like, well, right, I know that. But again, there's a story behind that fucking spiel. And it's just depressing to think about, like, someone barging in being like, an hour later, you said there was no wait.
Right. And that place is unpredictable.
And it is.
No, they're just, it's unpredictable when they'll be busy or not.
Dude, we went. So I was going to say, we showed up at 6:15. I'm like, it's 6:15. I have an hour and 45 minutes before I have to record, before I have to be home to record the podcast. Even if we take an hour to eat food, oh, it wait, is 7:15.
The lodge is not the quick. It's not a quick
No, it's not.
It's never been.
But even if we took 90 minutes, I still have plenty of time to get home, right? But, like, we showed up, and like, when we showed up, two giant parties had been seated, yeah. And, like, and that was it. That screwed up everything. Like, we didn't get, yeah. You know, and it's fine. Like, I get it. Dude did everything he could. Like, I like eating at the lodge a lot because, like, they're good people. But, like, it was just wild because, like you said, it's unpredictable. No, I had no idea that it was going to do that. But
yeah, and they're not equipped to handle large parties.
No, it's
there's only two.
There was a tiny. It was a tiny mom and pop place for years, and then like I don't know if it got passed down. Or a new party bought it, but like they turned it into this craft beer mecca that then became this like you know one of the premier restaurants in the suburbs of Chicago.
In one of the most full circle moments of my life, we did a podcast live from not you and me when I was on the other one.
Right,
we did a podcast live from the Bavarian Lodge and we interviewed the owner, and he told stories going all the way back to the beginning. So mm-hmm. I don't know, like I don't know how long he's had it. He made it sound like he's been there since the beginning. He talked about
and it may very well be his family. I don't know.
Yeah, he talked about one of the more fascinating stories that he told me was, or he told on the podcast was, they used to go. They were one of the first customers in Illinois to buy Sam Adams Boston Lager kegs, but you couldn't. There was no distributor for it here, and they were like kind of bootlegging him.
Like, oh, really?
They had heard.
Yeah, they were transporting them across fucking state lines and shit.
Someone was bringing it into Illinois, and they were buying the kegs off of somebody that was wasn't legal. That's awesome. Not in a legal way.
And that's when like Sam Adams was like, Sam Adams was not Sam Adams.
No, but the legend. I mean, craft beer wasn't even craft beer then. Like,
no.
But the legend was building about this thing, this Boston lager, this like very flavorful caramel forward lager that people were drinking in Boston. And so, the Lodge became one of the first places in Illinois to serve it. The Lodge also one of the first restaurants in America to regularly get Three Floyds beer.
Right. Right. Outside of their tap house, right?
Yeah, outside of the brew pub.
Right.
Which, speaking of, if people want to listen, join the Discord. Link is in the show notes. This fucking Three Floyds brew pub thing is in Chicago.
The Chicago one? Yeah. That is wild.
So there was for six or 7 years ago, there was a rumor that Three Floyds was going to open a brew pub in Chicago because the owner. He leased a building in Chicago or bought a building. He might have bought it outright. He must have, I guess.
He must have because they're selling it.
Yeah. It was all hearsay. Like everyone just knew the address. And then they painted the bricks black and they're like, oh, hell yeah, it's Three Floyds. Just metal black. And so, like, everyone's like, this is it. They're going to open a Three Floyds in Chicago. And then
Nothing happened. COVID hit, right?
This was like, 2017.
Okay.
It was like 2017, 2018. And COVID closed their tap room in Indiana, which is going to finally reopen this year. excuse me. But anyway, this thing in Chicago, it was a non-anything. Nobody ever brought it up. Three Floyds never confirmed it. They never did an interview about it. They never did anything. And then like 3 months ago, a listing for the place went up for sale. And if you go to the listing... It's done. It's a done taproom. It's a Three Floyds taproom.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
It just isn't branded. Like, aside from, like, the colors and stuff. All the colors are...
Above the booths are little wooden stone statues of some of the characters.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, you gotta look real close, but they have, like, a gumball head and a zombie from Zombie Dolls.
That's so wild.
So imagine you buy that and you just have those. Like, you take those with you. Like, you're like, we can sell these, I guess, or something. Right. I don't know.
Or you move them to, like, another tap house. Like,
or sell them to...
That's wild. Well, I wonder, like, I guess is it being sold like as is? Like what you see is what you get.
There's a video. So did you see the video I posted?
No, I didn't watch the video.
I posted a video of the realtor touring the place, and he's just like, yeah, you get all this. You get a fully open, you get a bar, 20 taps. The shelves behind me for liquor. All the busters, all the tubs for the ice and the drinks. And then there's a kitchen.
It didn't seem like it was that expensive either.
$1.5 million.
Right, but like, I mean, we're talking about like real estate in Chicago that is fully, yeah. Like, you're not just buying an empty building. You're buying, like, if you want to open a brew pub, you can open a brew pub.
Right, for $1.5 million.
You just need to buy food and beer.
That's like, you're
infrastructure-wise, you're there.
It's in Humble Park.
Right.
Which is like not all like, not the most like friendly, like, but I'm probably wrong about that. That neighborhood has grown a lot. And especially after, I mean, Riot Fest isn't in Humboldt Park anymore, but like it kind of hipped up some of those areas. Like people coming to Humboldt Park for Riot Fest came back to see other stuff. And people did start opening bars and stuff, restaurants. So I don't know.
When did Riot Fest leave Humboldt?
Oh, I only think they were there for 3 years. I think it was 2012, 2013, 2014.
Okay.
I think it moved to Douglas Park.
So this is even post that. So I'm just trying to figure out why they would just abandon it.
There's two rumors. The one is financial. They just did a survey of the area or whatever, and like it's not worth it.
Sure.
The other one is there's some kind of the Illinois liquor license versus Indiana liquor licenses versus not being able to hold two different kinds of liquor licenses or something. Like there was some potential legal thing. Because I remember they were originally going to open on Randolph. They were going to open up the Three Floyds Brew Pub on Randolph downtown. But something happened there again, something legal happened. And Nick Floyd, one of the Floyds, ends up, he's now just one of the owners of that bar Lone Wolf.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And there's always the first four tap handles at Lone Wolf are Three Floyds. So there's always four Three Floyds beers on tap. They've even done shit like open bottles of Dark Lord at Lone Wolf. So like Lone Wolf is like this kind of unofficial Three Floyds tap room.
Which was the Three Floyds beer that like in like 2016 was just impossible? Was it Gumball Head?
Zombie Dust.
Zombie Dust. Yes, it was Zombie Dust. Gumball Head was the one that was easy to get here.
No,
right?
Zombie Dust and Gumball Head were both pretty difficult to find.
Well, what was the one that the Lodge always had on tap?
Zombie Dust.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they were like the only place that had it on tap.
Yeah. They were the only place I could go to get Zombie Dust, like on a regular basis. The story of Zombie Dust is, I won't tell it here, but it was, you would go to Indiana to get it. You would wait, so they had a page for their to-go beer kiosk, and you would refresh it at like 10 a.m. and it would say what they were going to have that
right day. yes
and if Zombie Dust was on there, people would get in the car and they would drive to the Three Floyds,
and we went there for what, Klug special party, didn't we?
Yeah, we stopped there just to get beer.
Yeah
We stopped there to get beer because the wait for a table at the restaurant at the time was like hours and hours.
Yeah, that's right.
But like Zombie Dust was currency. Like you could go buy a case of Zombie Dust and sell it to people for $100.
That's wild.
And well, the wilder part now is 10 years later, the Walmart by my house has Zombie Dust. Like I just go to Walmart and get Zombie Dust. Like it's
and they didn't get bought, right? Like they are still
100% independent. One of the largest independent craft brewers in America. They now service 12 states.
That's wild.
Well, they have two breweries. They have a secret brewery that not a lot of people know about. It used to be a Whole Foods distribution warehouse.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So they have plenty of room for tanks in there.
Plenty of room. And that brewery cans all the beer.
Okay.
So any Three Floyds beer that comes in a can comes out of the secret brewery. The OG brewery, that's anything that comes in a glass bottle.
Right. And that one's not that big, right?
I mean, it's big. It's big. I mean, they expanded the size of it like every few years for like 20 years. I did a tour of it in 2018, and they got like, they had just gotten like the fucking Laverne and Shirley bottling line. Like the fucking,
right,
like,
right,
we can run like 10 cases a minute of beer. Like they were producing and bottling an unfathomable amount of beer for a brewery that like was so regional.
Yeah, that's wild.
They just couldn't make enough beer.
And they still do. Oh, they're doing. You said that they're bringing back Dark Lord Day.
Well, Dark Lord Day's been back. This will be the third year of Dark Lord Day, I think. No, let's see. 22, 23, 24?
Yeah.
23, 24? This is the second or third year where they brought it back. The brew pub, the restaurant that they closed in 2020 is reopening this year.
That's right. You're right. Yeah, that's what you said.
50-50 restaurant group is in charge of it. And that's about all anybody knows. The other weird thing about Three Floyds, you want to talk about them canceling shit. In 2017, they went to the town of Munster and proposed a campus. They were going to open like an amusement park, basically.
Right.
They bought all the land around them. They started knocking down businesses. They started paying off businesses to leave and like knocking the buildings down and then stopped. So that's not happening anymore either, obviously. And it's 2024. They proposed that in like 2017.
That's wild.
7 years ago.
And they just were like, nope.
Yeah, I think they had plans for really aggressive expansion, and then they saw that like maybe craft beer isn't, maybe we don't need all this really aggressive expansion. Maybe all we really need is to just make more beer.
Mm-hmm.
Like make sure there's enough beer out in the market.
Sure.
That's it. Well,
I was going to talk about something, but whatever.
At this rate, save it for the next show.
That's right. Eventually, in about 2 years, I'll tell you all about the woes of having dual output audiovisual equipment. It's great.
Yeah, I was going to talk about my adventures with D-Brand, the company D-Brand.
Oh, yes, yes. MKBHD approved, yes. D-Brand.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to talk about this fucking Diablo mouse I got.
On clearance. I mean, that could be part of the show, and that work could be part of the show. Whatever you want to do.
Really quick. I'll touch on the Diablo mouse. So I bought a computer a month ago. Most people know this by now.
Right.
Built a computer. I'm a big fan of SteelSeries as my peripheral maker. I have their headset that I really love, and then I went and bought a keyboard, a mouse, and a mouse pad from SteelSeries, and I'm not happy with the mouse. Not particularly thrilled with it. I should have brought it out here to show you. It was $40, and it's essentially a two-button mouse. It has two buttons, scroll wheel, two clicky buttons on the side. It has adjustable DPI.
No nonsense
is, you know, adjustable DPI, and the scroll wheel has RGB.
Right.
And I wasn't happy with how, you know, I'm going to go get it. I know it's visual. I know this is dumb.
No, but I, you know what? I'll describe it to the customer. I am a wordsmith.
So you can see.
It's a black mouse.
And the buttons are just right next to each other.
Yes.
So, like, it was really easy to, like, click both at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I just wasn't.
It's like a basic-ass Microsoft mouse.
$40, though. $40. Goddamn dollars. So then our good friend Wario64, our friend, he posted, hey, Walmart has SteelSeries keyboards and mouse on clearance. This one is 30 and this one's like 20. And I was like, maybe I just get one of these mice while on clearance. As soon as I could click on the link, that they were sold out and it was gone. So I go into the replies to the tweet, and someone's like, the Diablo mouse is $25. And I was like, the Diablo mouse is $25. And I open a tab, I go to Walmart.com, I type SteelSeries Diablo 4 mouse, and up pops this mouse. This.
Ooh, it's like
you can't see that.
It's like, it's not netted, but it's.
It has the holes in it so that, I think it's to reduce weight.
Yeah, and it's probably to keep your hand cool. Probably keep your hand cool, too.
But you can see there's much more separation between the buttons.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a good mouse. Seems like a good mouse.
This mouse is $150.
Of course it is.
It was $25.
Mm-hmm.
And I ordered it. And as soon as I ordered it and I knew the order went through, I refreshed that page and it was fucking done. It was newt. Like, the page wasn't even there anymore. So I don't know if I got the last one, but I saw that dude's tweet and, like, ran right to Walmart.com mm-hmm. and got one. And have I used it? Well, we'll talk about that during the show.
I'm so happy that Wario is on Mastodon now. I've deleted Threads out of my life. I no longer have to read bad takes.
I'll tell you what I don't like about Threads is it sends me a fucking notification every couple days that, like, this person said something. And I was like, I don't give a fuck about this person.
That's why I turned off notifications for all those. Facebook does the same thing. Instagram does the same thing. Fuck all the meta apps. That's what I say. I say, fuck the police and the meta apps.
Yep, that's the song. That's that song.
That is how it goes.
The meta apps.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the song. All right, well. Now, do you want to talk about video games?
Yeah, as much as we can.
Oh, there's not much here, but we'll do it. Welcome to the Bullshot Podcast, episode 302. Today is Wednesday, March 27th, 2024. My name is Jim Plotty, and with me is Fish.
Yes.
Well, allow me to tell you that I, for the most part, took a mental health break from video games this week.
They were just too much. They were bullying you a little too much.
The problem was there was too much other stuff going on.
I had the same kind of week.
Right. The only thing I can really tell you is that Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is fucking awesome. It's still so fucking good. I love it so much. I'm starting to see the critical backlash towards it. Fuck you. The game's awesome. It's really great. I'm only halfway through it, so I can't. Maybe it sucks. Maybe it ends up sucking.
Maybe it Alan Wake 2's you right at the end there.
Maybe it gives you the old Alan Wakey onesie twosie.
Alan Wakey onesie twosie.
Right at the end. It's like, guess what? This all took place at the bottom of a lake.
It's not a lake. Surprised. It's an ocean.
I mean, as far as you know, as far as he says. So you didn't play any video games either?
No, I did. I have the similar situation where, like, this week was fucking, the last week has been just fucking brutal in terms of, like, shit to do and stuff like that. I've been really busy at work. But I was like, I am going to finish Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Remake.
And I didn't, but
no,
I got to chapter, I'm on chapter 17, so I'm like,
oh, you're there. There.
I'm there. Yeah.
Chapter 17 and 18 are boss fights.
Yes, that's what I kind of figured. So, like, I was starting to, much like you, I was starting to see, like, I don't know, TikTok and its grand algorithm has started showing me dissenting opinions towards Final Fantasy VII Remake. People who didn't like it. And I'm like, at first when I started seeing those, like, you know, two or three weeks ago when I was still early on, I was like, I don't understand this. I'm starting to get it now. I think that I'm really enjoying it. I like that game a lot. I like that game because I know what it is. I think that if I were going into Final Fantasy VII Remake, right, and I was like, this is a remake of Final Fantasy VII, as it says on the title, and I am currently in the Shinra Labs about to fight Genova, which, as most people who have played that game know, is right about at the end of Disc 1. That's right about the culmination of the end of Disc 1. And so you're like, all right. Like, if I was like, I'm going to play Final Fantasy VII Remake, I am just getting into it. I am a third of the way done. And then to just have the fucking because, like, we spoiled it last week, and I am sorry about that, because I was under the impression that the idea that this game knows about Final Fantasy VII was a more pervasive plot point, but, like, it has not come up. It just started coming up. Like we just met the ghosts again. Red 13 was like,
yeah, Red 13.
Red 13 was like, hey, those are they keep the Destiny. And then, like, Tifa's like, capital D Destiny. I was like, okay, so we're getting into now. I thought that was a much bigger plot point, but, like, this game moves as if it is just Final Fantasy VII right up until the fucking end here.
Yeah. And I want to be clear, this game is 4 years old. And yes. That's the kind of spoiler that I think you could use as, like, bait to reel people into Final
Fantasy. It is what baited me into playing it. When they were like, no, when I read that spoiler and they were like, no, this is the reason that this game, I was like, oh, fuck, okay, all right, I want to see what they're doing. But I think that if I'm the type of person that is going into this thinking it's Final Fantasy VII Remake, I'd be real upset. I'd be real fucking upset that, like, this game is about to end. I am just now starting the story, and this game is about to fucking end on me.
Yep.
And not only that, but, like, it seems like, and I don't know if this is true or not, but, like, there's a lot of stuff I still haven't finished and unlocked. Like, I still have what's the dude's name, the kid that's giving me materia?
Oh, Chadley.
Chadley. I still have one of his things left. I have to master all the green materia, and I haven't done that yet. I'm close, and I think I'll do it before I beat it, but, like, it seems like this game locks a lot of stuff behind hard mode, because, like, I don't have, you know, I don't have any of the Bahamuts. I think there's 3 Bahamut summons in Final Fantasy VII. I don't have any of them. I don't have, like, a lot. I don't have Odin. I don't have, like, the summons that, like, are towards the start of the game that aren't, like, obviously I don't have Knights of the Round. I'm not going to have Knights of the Round. But, like,
I think you should sit back, relax, and enjoy the story that this game is.
Oh, I'm ready. No. Listen, I want to be clear. I am not being critical of this. I am saying that, like, I am seeing this people saying, like, oh, I didn't like what they did with Final Fantasy VII Remake. I really disliked that game. And I keep thinking, well, what the fuck does this game do that you people didn't like? And then I realize that, like, if I'm going into this as Final Fantasy VII Remake, what it says on the fucking tin, yeah, I'd be
We knew they were turning this into at least 2 games. And now it's 3. But
Right. No, we did. And we also knew that, like, based on the press images, they were just showing pictures of Midgar. Like, when I remember that, we called that out several times. We were like, it's a little weird that all we see is Midgar here. But again, none of that is explicitly clear going. No one in this game is like, no one going into this game expected it to, even if you're splitting it in half, ending it where I think it's going to end is fucking wild. Because, like, it's the end of Disc 1. You are just now being dropped into the larger story of Final Fantasy VII. And, like, again.
The ending of this game will make you want to immediately turn on
Remake. Oh, I'm going to. Oh, well, no, I can't. I gotta play Yuffie, the Yuffie bit, the Intergrade. No,
I didn't play that shit.
I'm going to.
I didn't play it. No.
I did all the fucking quests in Chapter 14. Took me 4.5 hours. Did them all, double man.
Double birds to Yuffie. Just get to Rebirth. It's so good.
I'm sure it is, but I have to consume everything that can consume. And then the other thing, I've been sitting with the Playdate a lot. I like that little thing.
Cranking it? You've been sitting there cranking it?
I'm sitting there cranking it, baby. All the time, day and night. I was at the Bavarian Lodge. Whipped it out, cranked it a little bit there.
Want to make a promise to the listeners? This is the last time I'm going to do that. That's the last cranking it. Joe, we'll talk about the Playdate like adults from here on out.
Maybe.
That's a promise from me.
So I was like, you know what? This would be really good on this. Like, it's like, I should get a horror game on this. I should get a game that I'm going to play in the fucking dark, which is a joke because that scream is fucking terrible. But but like, I was like, I want to see the creative breadth of this game, because I'm still playing Mars After Midnight, which is good. But I think our buddy Hodep summed it up best, is like, right now I'm still in the repetitive tasks portion of that game. And those games, God, I can't think of his name now. It's not Zach Gage. It's
Pope.
Yes. Lucas Pope. His games tend to shift gears quickly into something else, something bigger. And it hasn't done that yet. And I'm kind of just waiting for that to happen. What if it doesn't? I don't know. I have no idea. I guess I'm expecting that, because right now it's just kind of mundane.
What if that's it? What if that's the whole game?
Maybe. So I started looking for games, and like I said, I want to look at horror games. And there was a lot of people recommending this game called Nightingale, and I was like, all right, okay, I'll check this out. It's $3, and I'm like, I'm gonna just play this fucking horror game, right? I'm gonna sit down and play this horror game. It looks like a Game Boy game, which I like. I like that aesthetic. And I'm like, all right, you know, how scary could it be? I load it up, and it's like, content warning, sexual assault, child molestation, child abuse. And I was like, I don't know if I have this game in me, frankly.
Sounds scary.
I mean, it sounds terrifying. And I don't know.
Sounds scary.
I don't know if I really want to play it. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if I load that sucker back up. That talk about a jump scare.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
You got trigger warning.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, it's fine. I'm glad that they did that, but also, like, that is not the game. Like, you know that you made a game. You made a game for a system that has a little toy crank on it, right? Like, you know that, right? Like, you made this is the play. It's called the play date. It's not. It's.
I mean, all those trigger warnings, and then you give me a crank. I don't want to. I don't want to think about what I'm going to be doing with that crank during this game.
Oh man, I don't know.
I guess if you're just the kind of person who has $3 to set on fire, you can download games and you don't check to make sure it has a trigger warning.
I'm sorry. How many games have you gone and been like, hey, did you check the content warnings on fucking Final Fantasy VII Rebirth before you popped that shit in? No, you didn't. You weren't like, boy, I wonder if a kid gets raped in this.
You know what? Seeing as how it's the remake of a game where no children were harmed. I mean,
well, we've already talked about the fact that it's diverging from that. Who knows?
I mean, the game wasn't rated AO.
Well, neither was this. I mean, it had no rating.
No, it's not rated because it's made by some fucking weirdo in his basement, apparently.
And it's on the Playdate store.
It's
on the Playdate store. Like, I bought it. I didn't download it like some fucking sketchy thing from itch.io or anything. It's on the Playdate store. $3. I guess we'll find out.
Will we?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Well, all right. Do you want to do news?
Yeah.
Okay. There's not a lot of news, but it's okay. We can have a light week. We can do light weeks sometimes.
Yeah, that's fine.
We deserve it.
We got two blasts from the past we can do.
We could do two blasts from the past. It's true. Hey, Larian, the company that made Baldur's Gate 3, what some people consider one of the best games ever made.
And what Jeff Keighley said was the best game of the year.
Yeah, best game of the
year. Jeff Keighley and Cliff said best game of the year.
Jeff and Cliff, the dynamic duo of Game of the Year award giver outers. They're done. They're not doing any more Dungeons and Dragons. Not only are they not doing Baldur's Gate 3 DLC or Baldur's Gate 4, they have given the license back to Hasbro. They've been like, you can have this. We don't need it anymore.
Which, it's a real drop the fucking mic moment.
Which, like,
we did this. See ya.
try to beat this. Here you go. You can have this back. The only thing that I thought about really with this was like, okay, so what's their next game? Are they going to go back to like an original IP now that their name is more out there? Or do you think they got like their dream license? Like, do you think they're going to give the Baldur's Gate treatment to like Sonic the Hedgehog or like whatever like their dream game is?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is the first and only D&D game they've done, right? Because the Divinity games aren't D&D, right?
Well, they use the D20 system, and it does all the same stuff Baldur's Gate does. Like,
so are they abandoning that whole system too?
No idea. That we don't know. But
I don't know if that's a part. I guess I don't know if that's a part of the D&D.
No. Anyone's allowed to use that game system, the underlying game system. Baldur's Gate 3 is an officially licensed Dungeons and Dragons product. Mm-hmm. Baldur's Gate is a setting there are characters from Dungeons and Dragons in Baldur's Gate 3. So I don't know. It's an interesting question. Like, will they make something completely original again? Are they going to like really go for it with some license that they acquired?
Yeah.
Cause I imagine at this rate, anyone would let them make a game.
Sure. Anyone who wasn't already making a game. Because I was like, man, I would love to make the next Mass Effect game.
Yeah, hey.
I'd play that. I would play that Mass Effect game.
Yeah. Was there ever a pen and paper Mass Effect role-playing game? I feel like there was.
I'm sure there was. Dude, there's a place by, not by us, but it's called The Wandering Dragon.
Yeah, I go there sometimes. Yeah.
You've been there?
Yeah. An amazing store.
Yeah, any tabletop role-playing system that you want to play, there's probably a game for it. Like, there's an Alien game, there's a Predator game, there's a Blade Runner game, there's a Sonic the Hedgehog tabletop. Like, if there is a licensed property that you can make a tabletop game for, they have made a tabletop game for it.
Yeah, the Assassin's Creed RPG is about to come out, and you have no idea how bad I want.
Didn't they say something? Isn't something else coming too?
Something just got announced. I put it in the Discord. There's a Halo tabletop miniatures game. It was at Adepticon, and it doesn't use rulers. So like the table, the board space is small enough, and everyone's a Spartan. That they were like, okay, Spartans can see really far because of their powers or whatever, right? So literally it's all line of sight. Like, you literally get down on the table and you like look down where your miniature, and whatever your miniature can see, that's awesome. That's what they can shoot at.
That's awesome.
So unlike which our friend Cliff is about to fall right down the rabbit hole on, you just no rulers, you just line of sight. Because it's a skirmish based game. It's 4v4. You have a squad of four Spartans versus, it's red versus blue, the miniatures game.
Right.
Essentially. So, I don't know, they did a Halo Clicks. Remember the click system
that WizKids
created?
Yeah, yeah.
Where the book was like basically printed on the base of the miniature.
Right.
It was like, that was neat, but this is going to be a bit more complicated. It'll use dice and line of sight and terrain, and it can be multiple levels, like a Halo map. Like, you can make two levels, so someone can be on top, and yeah.
That's
pretty
cool.
Neat. Pretty neat, but I'll probably never play it. So, Marvel Rivals got announced today, finally, after like a couple weeks of leaks. People seem to know about this game.
And then they teased it yesterday. They were like, "We've got a big announcement coming tomorrow."
Yeah, it's third person Overwatch,
right? With Marvel characters.
Marvel heroes, which I gotta give them huge props for something. They didn't give the characters guns. Like, I thought they would have guns. I thought it'd be like, okay, so Spider-Man has a machine gun, but he can also web people up. But no, it's all power-based. It's all, like, you know, the magic user uses their wands, and, like, Spider-Man shoots webs and, like, swings around. It's from NetEase. It'll be free to play. It'll cost $29 in microtransactions to, like, unlock all the characters or whatever. I don't know. I'm not really big into these class-based hero shooters or whatever, or hero-based shooters.
Okay, so serious question.
Okay, I'm here for you.
Does this game make it out of beta?
Does this game make it out
of an open beta?
Okay, so it's going to closed alpha next month.
Right.
Or in May? May, I think.
May. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, because there were like four shooters that never made it out of beta in the last like year, I feel like.
I think that what they need to do, and what they will do, is they will sell a founders pack, right? They will sell a $20 pack that unlocks four characters, four skins, four voice packs or whatever.
And gives you a little bit and gives you a little in-game currency.
And it lets you play in the beta. If they don't sell X amount of those, the game's done.
Right. Yeah, see, I just I think that this is a game that has a much better chance pre-Endgame, pre-Infinity War, when like Marvel was at its absolute peak and it was firing on all
cylinders. You got to remember that not everything is the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
No,
that's
true.
These are comic book characters.
But also,
however, they did pull most of them from movie
characters. Also, the comic book characters weren't lifting up any of the properties previous to the MCU.
I mean, you know, I think Marvel is definitely, it's not like Marvel is some unpopular thing.
No, I'm not arguing that. What I'm arguing is, like, think about just Marvel movies in general. Think about properties that are based on Marvel properties that aren't related to the movie. There aren't that many of them that aren't really, not even MCU. Not I'm talking anymore. About X-Men Origins Wolverine, which is a fucking fantastic game. If you can get your hands on it, it is a fucking fantastic game, but that's based on, you know, that Fox X-Men or the Fox X-Men series.
Oh yeah.
There are very few games that are just rooted in the comics themselves, because I think that base, I don't know if there's a lot of crossover there or there's not enough.
Though, NetEase and Marvel already have a track record of free-to-play games that are successful.
Sure, absolutely.
There are a few mobile games.
We've talked about Marvel Snap, and Marvel Snap is great.
It's not Marvel Snap. Games like Heroes of Champions, and there's three or four, not just Snap. There's like three or four, and is Snap NetEase? I mean, I thought it was
NetEase.
It was Tencent. It was or TikTok or whatever.
Oh, you're Newverse, right. It was. Newverse. You're right. Yeah. Newverse. Yes, you're right.
But there are several NetEase Marvel mobile games that are free to play that are very successful. I don't know if they're successful in America because they don't have to be.
Right.
Marvel Strike Force, Marvel Contest of Champions, Marvel Future Fight. These are all free to play, like, mobile games that are doing really well. Sixth anniversary right now of Marvel Strike Force.
Yeah, I mean, if it's been around for 6 years, and it's obviously making enough money to justify its existence.
So this is their attempt to go wide with something like this, because it's for console and PC.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see. I just don't know. Like, is there room for another hero shooter outside of Overwatch?
And Valorant.
Maybe there is now.
Valorant.
Oh yeah, and Valorant. Yeah. And maybe there is now, because Overwatch seems to be shrinking, because no one, including Blizzard, seems to care about that game.
That team. We skipped the news story, but they killed the PvE.
Yeah, they single player stuff. Dead. It's completely dead.
So weird.
Yeah, Blizzard the last 10 years has been real weird.
Well, something we could probably touch on. I wasn't going to talk about it, but since we're talking about Blizzard, tomorrow's the big day. Diablo 4 comes to Game Pass, and that's fine if you have an Xbox. Seems pretty straightforward. But in what can only be described as not very shocking, you have to download the battle. All right, follow me here, because this is actually what you have to do. You have to go to Game Pass on your PC, the Xbox app.
Right.
You have to click on Diablo 4. You have to download the battle.net client.
Right.
You have to log in to, you have to tie your Blizzard account to your Xbox account.
Right.
And then you can, there's no preloading Diablo 4.
Right. And you're not playing it on a special Xbox.
No.
It's Xbox app version of it. You are just playing the battle.net version linked to your Xbox account.
Yeah. Which a lot of people are like stoked about.
Sure.
Because it means you can play on like the PTR and.
Right. Man, wouldn't it have been great if they did that for Steam instead of tried to just resell it again? That would have been great. What a great thing that would have been.
I don't know.
But what's cool about this is you can play it on your Steam Deck. It runs really good on the Steam Deck.
Oh, but how do I do the battle.net launcher?
Danny is hearing this right now, and he's writing you a message.
Okay. Thank you, Danny, in advance. Thank you to the Diablo Lord for telling me how to play Diablo 4 on my Steam Deck. Because that would be cool. That would be really neat.
Yeah, and it works really well. I played a bunch of Diablo 4 on it.
Yeah, I downloaded the patch on Xbox. There was a patch yesterday that has... So I didn't play... Obviously, I don't have a PC yet because it's not there. It's not out yet until tomorrow. But there was a big graphics enhancement patch that is... if you have a 40 series, NVIDIA card is apparently going to make this...
DLSS3.
Yeah. But apparently some of those enhancements do come to the Xbox Series X version and the PlayStation 5 version, and I downloaded it and I ran it and I clicked the little tab to say, like, yeah, give me the enhanced graphics. It locks you to 30 frames per second, but I have bad news for you. It runs way worse than that. So I turned it right the fuck
aspirationally 30 frames per second.
Yeah, it sucked. It was really bad. The only thing I really noticed, because I only played for like 5 minutes just to see how it looked, is that your little construct dude, the light underneath him looked really fucking cool. Like,
I'm sure it's ray traced, and like, this is how light really acts.
they ray trace the fuck out of the light underneath the construct Spider-Man, not to be confused with Marvel Rivals
right.
Spider-Man.
Right. Who neither of which have a gun.
Right. No, neither of these things have guns, which is great. It's great good news.
Great news.
I'm so excited to find out that they did not give Spider-Man or Groot a gun.
I think Groot, I think you could give Groot a gun. Rocket Raccoon.
Well,
and Groot,
he's friends with Rocket, right? Oh, right, he has a gun. Rocket Raccoon has a gun in the game.
Oh, I'm sure he does. He's probably all guns. Like, he just has guns. Like, there's just all guns. Every one of his powers is a gun.
He turns into a gun.
Exactly. What was the Transformer that turned into a gun?
Megatron.
That's right.
The fact that we live in a world where a mass shooting happens every day, and I can't buy a toy where Megatron turns into a fucking gun is insane.
You have to go buy. You have to get your kid to buy a real gun instead. That's how you. Yeah. That's how it works.
And then you machine it apart to make it exactly. Like Megatron. It's exactly. A bit reverse engineered.
Exactly.
You have to turn your gun into Megatron. Only in America do we turn a gun into Megatron. We're just lousy with guns.
Up to my ears in fucking guns here. All I want is a Megatron doll.
Our last news story this week is it's kind of weird. It starts weird. So after like 10 years of it's not reclusiveness, as it turns out. It's just he's been busy. Ken Levine invited somebody from IGN and Jeff Keighley.
And the Keighley.
To play 6 hours of Judas.
Right.
Which then resulted in a 1 hour and 15 minute interview with Ken Levine.
Video interview.
Yeah. And Jeff Keighley posting this like very vloggy, like confessional, here are my thoughts about Judas. This also did get accompanied by our first look at any significant amount of gameplay.
Right.
Like, that wasn't just like a real world MTV jump cut edit of like someone shooting powers and then, you know, whatever. So first of all, it is the spiritual successor to Bioshock. You're doing powers with the left hand, shooting guns with the right hand.
Ken Levine has one game in him. He made it System Shock 2, BioShock, BioShock Infinite. Dude has one game. They're all spiritual successors. It's fucking there's probably a lighthouse in this fucking game.
I hope so. And hack things. I totally forgot about hacking things. I forgot that was part of the BioShock.
You got to move the pipes. Got to turn the pipes so the water can flow properly.
And another thing is he's only got one trick up his sleeve, which is like smashing you in the face with symbolism.
Right.
You're on a space station called the Mayflower.
I'm with you. What are we calling it, boys? Let's go.
Your name is Judas. You're playing as Judas.
Who am I betraying today?
There's a sheriff whose name, I bet if you say it slow enough, is a phrase, but I couldn't pick up on it. There's an Egyptian woman, and then there's Hope, who you have to murder.
No. So
Ken Levine talked about this 10 years ago at GDC. He called it narrative Lego blocks. And you can watch these trailers, you can listen to this interview, you can watch Jeff Keighley talk about the game, and then you can come to the same conclusion that Kotaku and I came to, which is, I don't know what you did here. I don't know what are you talking about?
Lego narrative. My guy, you can tell one story. You have one story in you. It's the same fucking story every time. You've got one of them. You got one story. You can't, like, Lego, like, miss me with this choose your own adventure shit. We're going to get the same story regardless of how we play this game. There's not going to be some grand fucking schism in storytelling where, like, you can have completely different outcomes. It's like, are you going to kill the little sisters or are you going to save them? What is your choice? We got some Legos here.
We call that a two-piece Lego set.
Yeah.
You've only got, Ken, do you have any Legos in your Lego set? Because I found two. I found kill everyone or kill no one. That's only Legos. They just find them over and over again.
Those aren't Legos. Those are Lincoln Logs. Ken, those are Lincoln Logs.
Ken, you meant narrative pickup sticks.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and there's two sticks.
It's a big jar, two sticks.
At the end of the day, it's narrative pickup stick, but you can break the bottom half off and be like, look, I got two.
So I don't know. So you and I quibbled about something a little bit, but there are three characters: the sheriff, the Egyptian goddess, and Hope. And you are going to do missions for them,
right?
And you decide if you're going to do for who, and they're going to fuck with you. Like, whoever you don't help is going to fuck with you. Here's the narrative Legos. If you help the sheriff, the Egyptian woman is like, oh, he sucks. Why don't you help me instead? And if you, like, that's the narrative Legos. And apparently, it looks like you die and you come back.
Right.
Judas has this crystal in her hand, and it's got Tetris pieces missing out of it, and those are her memories.
Those are the narrative Legos.
She has the narrative Legos
in her hand. You have to collect them all to make the story.
So yeah, it does seem like what you're doing is you're going to collect your memories. But again, Ken Levine makes it sound like you're going to mix and match who you're helping at what point. But don't you think that, like, the true outcomes is going to be just following one person's lead?
Yes.
Because it seems like
there's probably a critical path to follow. Because, like, do you remember one of the big things about BioShock was they made this big deal about how, like, you can choose to save or kill each little sister, and each decision has an impact. And it's like, no, actually, you kill one little sister, you get the bad ending. If you have to save everyone to get the good ending. That's it. Yeah. That's the narrative Legos. So, like, yeah,
well,
there's probably
a
critical,
like,
path, and then there's, like, probably, like, two other endings that are similar, but...
But it also seems like... The way the footage looks, if you help one person, if you decide to help one person, the game is more difficult. And in gaming, more difficult means better reward, right? Like, so that's my other impression I got, was like, Hope seems like the true one you're supposed to be helping.
Right, because her name is Hope.
And in the footage they showed, like, the player was helping Hope, and there was a health thing on the wall, and the sheriff sabotaged it. And it was like, oh, okay, so it's harder. Like, it's hard.
I can't regen my health.
Yeah. So, I don't know. You know, but some people have... Keely said roguelike elements, but I don't think hardcore...
The girl from GameSpot did too.
Lily. I don't know if they mean roguelite.
And I don't know what the difference between like and light is, but I know that there is a significant difference. Excuse me, that someone is cursing about now.
Well, the game's not coming out this year, so
they're gonna have to bring in what's his name, Rod Ferguson. Close it up.
Call in Rod. Get it done. Get it
this
done,
small
Rod.
Skunkworks team that I'm sure is now a team of like 400 people.
Right. Yeah. The deck. Yeah. Oh, it's, you know, there's only like 375 people here.
We're a real small team. I was expecting you to bring up the white Xbox, but I feel like that would have been a real good branch from your D-brand shit. Like,
oh yeah. Do you want me to tell the D-brand story?
Yeah, might as well. Fuck it. We're almost done.
Okay, here's the news. Here's the news that just leaked. Ray, remember when there was going to be an Xbox Brooklyn or whatever? I don't know. Is that still happening? Who fucking knows? But what seems to be definitely happening is a discless all-white Xbox Series X for less than $500, and some are now speculating less than $400.
Yeah, which would be huge.
But it looks ugly as fuck.
Yeah, it is pretty ugly. Well, have you seen all this shit about how, like, people are not making games for the Xbox? Have decided actively not make games?
No. There are some publishers who said they wish they hadn't made games for the Xbox.
Right.
I don't think anyone has actually not put out a game for the Xbox because of the lack of sales or whatever. Right.
I mean, Larian almost.
Well, but that was a technical limitation.
Right. That's true. That's fair. That's fair. That's right.
And that was Xbox imposing that on them.
Right. And I wonder if a lot of that stuff is also why other people regret putting games out on Xbox because of that, having to have that feature parity with the Series S.
Yeah. And now apparently you don't.
Right.
Apparently.
So. Well, yeah, because Jeff Keighley called up Phil Spencer and was like, no, listen, this is the best game of the year. I don't want to spoil the surprise, but me and Cliff talked, and it's the best game of the year.
The best. It's the best. Anyways, there's a company called Dbrand. Right. They're famous for being kind of asshole.
And they make stickers.
So Dbrand makes...
stickers.
Stickers. To me, they make the best looking...
Yes.
AirPods Pro case.
Yes. Now, a lot of their shit is very good looking.
A lot, and I know what some of you are saying, it comes in a case. There's a case already. What do you need a case for your case? Charlie and I both have AirPods Pros. We've occasionally grabbed the wrong ones. So I've been like looking at cases and they all suck except for this one. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to get visual here. I'm going to have Fish help me.
It looks like an AirPods case that has like a rubber case around it.
A grip.
Yeah. It's a black matte finish.
And it has the MKBHD skin.
Why does it have a Steam symbol on it and Windows symbol?
It has 100 technology symbols. The MKBHD skin is, they did 100 symbols that relate to tech.
There's like 17 on that one.
Right, because it's only a piece of it. They did 100 symbols.
They picked a bad piece. Why is Windows and Steam on your AirPods case? It doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Is Steam on here? I don't see Steam.
Bottom right-hand corner.
Bottom right-hand corner?
I thought that was.
No,
it's like kitty corner from the Windows. Let me see again. Put it up to the window.
That's a settings. That's just a settings wheel.
Oh, no, I'm looking. Oh, no. Two to the right of the settings wheel is what I thought was the Steam logo, but I see now it is not.
It's just a globe. This case is nice. It's grippy. Wait, it's called the grip case, to be fair.
Now, is it? This is not a sticker though. This is like a. Is this like a rubber case that you put it put it in?
Let me finish describing the case, and then I'll tell you what the pieces are. It's a grippy case.
Yeah.
Adds just enough bulk that like when you put this in your pocket now, you know it's in your pocket. Okay. I feel like sometimes the AirPods Pros, you put them in a pajama pocket or a hoodie pocket, you can lose track of it. Like you don't realize it's there. You will now know that your AirPods are in your pocket, for sure. So as Fish said, Dbrand is mostly known for stickers. So the case has room for two of their stickers.
Mm-hmm.
So I paid an extra like $10 and got the sticker, the MKBHD sticker. Mm-hmm. This was pretty easy to do. I put the AirPods Pro in the Pros in the case. There's a piece of glue on the top part that you push down and you hold for 10 seconds and then it's glued on the top part.
Okay.
And then these skins went on fairly easy. I never done anything. First of all, I want to say I have no dexterity. And I'm very terrible at applying decals and stickers to things. But I did this one pretty easily. I don't think, if you looked at this real close, I don't think you'd see any flaws.
No.
I think it's fine. Now, let me tell you about the other reason I ordered from Dbrand. I really loved the way their skin looks on the Steam Deck.
Yes.
And I especially loved the white one. Like taking the Steam Deck from black to white, I think it's a really cool look. I think it's a really good job. I started doing some research on this skin, and people said that it is the hardest skin to put to apply that Dbrand makes. And I said, they sell this thing, like people put it on, right? Like do people return? Like what happens if you can't put it on, right? Like what do you do? So I watched Dbrand's 15-minute installation video.
Okay.
And there's some quirks. There's some tricks.
Sure.
You have to use a blow dryer to apply it in certain places.
Okay.
Because you have to like melt the you have to like melt the sticker into place around edges, around corners.
Sure, around curves. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
I watched that video and it seemed fairly straightforward. It seemed not easy. It seemed like it was gonna take some time.
But you felt apply. Comfortable.
I felt comfortable and I ordered it. Okay. I started looking on Reddit. People just talking about what a nightmare this fucking skin is. Don't buy the skin. You're going to ruin your Steam Deck. It's the fucking worst. Then someone said the trick, one of the tricks is to do it in front of a space heater. So the pieces are staying soft whole time.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
I have a space heater in my basement.
Yeah.
I'll do that. Now I'm going to go get my Steam Deck.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see the,
What do you think?
Yeah, it's not great.
No, you could tell just from like one second.
The right side, the side in your right hand is fucked.
This?
Yes.
Yes. That's nothing though. So Fish is referring to the trackpad sticker being a little off.
No. I'm talking about the actual grippy side is not lined up.
Look at all the edges. Yeah. They're all fucked up.
Yeah.
They're all bad. They're all not great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
Now apparently I can take a blow dryer
apply
heat and try to get those out.
Shrink wrap. It's like we had a shrink wrap machine when I worked at GameStop. Same principle.
But as of right now, I would tell you that I could not play this thing.
Really?
Like, I don't. It's these things on the grips. Mm-hmm. They're cutting your hand.
Oh fuck that.
And you can, like, it's just not great. Like,
And it's like, how many stickers is that? It's like 15 stickers.
No. It's the top of the Steam Deck. This is a sticker. Mm-hmm. This is a sticker.
The back, yeah.
This is a sticker.
Yeah.
The grip sticker.
Yeah,
the grip. And then front, and then each trackpad.
Yeah.
So it's like seven. It's like seven stickers.
It took me two tries to get the screen protector on the Steam Deck. Like,
yes.
Same. And that's one sticker. That's a single sticker. Like I had to roll my dexterity dice twice to nail that one. So like the odds of applying seven stickers correctly.
Also,
0%. 0%.
Also, mm-hmm. I will say that dbrand's shipping is a fucking nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
In a day and age where everything shows up in 2 days, like that Diablo mouse, I ordered that on Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. I had it Monday morning from Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
dbrand is in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And they ship with a service called OSM Worldwide.
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with OSM Worldwide.
Everything sits at each OSM location for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
In the amount of time that Amazon can get you a package, it's just moving from York, Pennsylvania to Cleveland, Ohio.
Right.
That's it. And then it sits there.
Right.
Then it gets to Chicago, sits there for 2 days. Mm-hmm. Then they drive it to the Postal Service main facility.
Right.
Who then spends another day sorting it and getting it to.
Yep.
It took 12 days for me to get my dbrand order. It's a little strange. It's like a little weird. Like, I guess they must save a ton of money that way somehow, some way. Because they don't charge shipping. And if you pay expedited shipping, I don't know how it gets to you faster.
They probably use an adult service like fucking the UPS.
FedEx.
No, yeah. FedEx sucks. FedEx is the worst.
FedEx, I don't mind FedEx.
Oh my god. Oh.
But
yeah, no, it's
dbrand adventure.
Dbrand kind of sucks, I'm not gonna lie. It's they're kind of a shitty company.
I'm really nervous though about like I gotta make it look good. Or I'm gonna end up throwing the stickers away, and those were not cheap stickers. Not cheap stickers.
No,
not cheap stickers.
No, it was $20, $30,
$50.
Oh, yeah. Well, there are 50. Seven of them.
Yes, it's less than $10 a sticker if you think about it.
No, yeah, no, you're making it.
The other thing I learned though is like, and then the other thing is like, they should give you two of each. Like,
yeah,
because you're really like learning as you're going.
The fucking these $12 plexiglass
screen protector.
You get three. I got three of them, so I could fuck up twice. Yeah, no, I know. It's wild.
It's pretty wild. It's pretty crazy that like they know how hard, they must know how hard it is to put on.
Yes.
You also learn as you go. Like, the left grip went on not great. Like, it took me all sorts of tries to get the left one on. But then with the right one, I started to learn that, like, as you heat the sticker, it sort of kind of just folds naturally, like, right into place.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, shit. Okay, like, well, I wish I had known that, like, on the left. Their instruction video does not provide any tips or, like, and the instruction video is just like, okay, now push the sticker on. Just put it on. And you're like, no, because I'm doing this and I can see the air bubbles.
It's like, if you want to draw an owl, first draw a circle, then draw another circle, and then draw the rest of the fucking owl.
Three steps, baby. You should go watch, people listening should go watch the Steam Brand video on how to put on the Steam Deck. Because, like, it's 15 minutes long. It took me an hour to fuck up putting mine on. Like, it's crazy. It's pretty wild, but.
But, I mean, it does look anyway. Good. I mean, like, it looks the white Steam Deck looks good.
It looks cool. I'm really happy with it at a glance.
Right.
Like, if I glance at it, I'm like, that's a cool Steam Deck.
Yep.
But, that's it. Well.
Do you want to do one or two Blasts from the Past? I don't care.
Let's do one. Let's do the latest Blast from the Past. Our friend Wyatt emailed us, podcast@bullshotpodcast.com. He goes back and he listens to old episodes of Bullshot from the same time period, and then summarizes the episode and sends it to us in an email. Fish will be playing a game called I'm Going to Say the Episode Title, and he has till the end of the email to figure out why the episode was called this. This Blast from the Past is from March 26, 2010, episode 47, Paxi. Jim,
oh, that's PAX East. That's why it's PAX East.
But what about PAX East? Why did we call the episode PAX East?
I don't know.
See, okay, we'll strap in. Jim was playing the Eye of Judgment demo on PSP. That's crazy.
What is
that? That was a card game. Remember the card game that used the eye?
Yeah, I was
playing a PSP demo of that. How? Why?
Okay.
Yeah. Fish was playing the Mass Effect 2 Firewalker DLC.
That was a good deal. Wait, is that the one? Which one was that? No, maybe that wasn't.
Firewalker?
Maybe that wasn't good.
I thought that one was good.
Which one is it? I don't remember.
I don't know. Now I don't know.
Project Firewalker. Hold on. I gotta look. Project
Firewalker. Firewalker, Texas Ranger.
Oh no! Wait, is this the one with the kid? The kid with autism who's controlling. Is that what this is?
Yes, I'm gonna say yes.
Fish was also playing hover tank. It's the one with the hover tank. But I don't know. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. Go on.
Fish was playing Infinite Space for the Nintendo DS and Metro 2033. Eli Hodap was playing God of War 3 and Heavy Rain. The news, Nintendo announced the 3DS, but no details were given. Details will be announced at E3. The Korean Games Rating Board rated an Xbox Live Arcade version of Duke Nukem Manhattan Project, a 2002 side-scroller.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft is going to release the 250GB hard drive for the Xbox 360 as a standalone product. It'll cost $129 and come with a transfer cable. Prince of Persia, The Forgotten Sands, is going to be released in May to line up with the movie. GameStop announced the pre-order bonus is a horde mode. Mass Effect 2's first paid DLC, Kasumi Stolen Memory, will cost $7 and be out in April.
And it was good.
BioWare put a countdown on their website, but can't tell the press what it's counting down to, but to expect that it's community-based. Wasn't this the BioWare reward system or whatever?
Yeah,
like the points?
So. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Hey, remember the Godfather, Michael Pachter? Well, he revealed that Visceral Games was supposed to make a Jack the Ripper game called The Ripper, And it's going to come out for Xbox Live Arcade and PSN. I went back and read Polygon's post-mortem on this game that is now... That post-mortem was 13 years ago they wrote that. So the Jack the Ripper game was going to be like a full-on game, but it was going to be a God of War style game where you play as Jack the Ripper, but Jack the Ripper might have been like in it, like he, it turns out that his victims, he imagined they were vampires, and then like, but then it turns out like he was killing innocent people. I don't know, the whole thing sounded,
I mean, this crazy. Is it sounds like, I mean, like they had that they had that Dante's Inferno engine ready to go. They were like, we need to
using the Dead Space 2 engine.
Oh, no shit. Okay.
Because EA said, well, if you're going to make this crazy Jack the Ripper game, you're going to put a multiplayer component in it. Because this was back when everyone had to have a multiplayer.
Project $10, baby.
And then finally, a Spanish video game magazine leaked the box art for Fear 3, a game that had not been announced.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I edited out you telling people that Fear 3 was coming out because we knew about it, but we couldn't divulge the information because our friend told us.
I don't think it was that serious.
Yeah,
I don't think it was. It was. I don't think it was that. I don't think it was that.
It was. 100%. 100%. I edited at least three. I edited out at least three episodes. I can remember very specifically. Well,
apologies to Wyatt and Danny and Cliff. You could have known about Fear 3 before the Spanish video game magazine. Because
remember, our buddy was working on it. Our buddy was on that team.
Yeah, I know. That's I know.
Because who made it? The Chicago studio made it, but not. It wasn't. Yeah, what the fuck was that?
I want to say day one.
Is it day one?
Is that what they were called? Day one? Why do I know that? Why was that just off the top of my head?
I don't know. It's incredible. Let's see. Who made this fucking game?
Day One Studios. Day One Studios. I know that. What the fuck?
What did Day One all?
And then they're Wargaming now. Wargaming Chicago. Right. That's right. And they're making World of Tanks and World of Warships and World of Warplanes and all those games.
Right.
That's crazy. I can't believe that's still going too. Anywho's it's. The final part of the email, next week's episode of Bullshot, in the past. We're gonna do it live, and we had a code to give away for Heavy Rain Chronicles Chapter 1, The Taxidermist.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess. Eli was packing for PAX East. PAX East, PAX E, packing. That's why it was called PAX-y. Thank you, Wyatt. If you want to be cool like Wyatt, you can email us podcast@bullshotpodcast.com. You can also join our Discord. The link is in the show notes. Thank you for listening to our show.
Thanks for being here as per usual.
It's crazy. Can't believe we're still doing it.
302 episodes later, people are still listening to this fucking thing.
Yeah, it's weird. Next week we'll have some. It'll be pre-gaming for the LAN party.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah, Quark asked me, "Hey, are we still doing the LAN party?" I was like, "Why would we not? Why would we not do the LAN party?" Quark.
I mean, listen. That's typically that's my territory to ask questions like that. But,
I mean, we don't talk about it, but like it's on the books.
Again, it does feel like a minor miracle that every 3 months you open your home to us to do this thing. Like it does feel, I don't know what it's like behind the scenes for you to make this happen.
My wife is amazing. Tiff is like, oh, it's your LAN party. I like it. Tiff is very supportive of the LAN party. Cause she's like, you get to have friends and I don't have any friends as an adult. So I get to live vicariously through yours.
Oh, yeah, because I mean, I think that's the way that like my wife sees it is like, how do you just get to go to like to his house and like take it over for like a whole weekend? That's crazy. I mean, it's not a whole weekend. It's
it's also because you know her parents are here, so she goes over to their house, and you know it works out.
Yeah, that's cool.
I still have a ton of energy drinks that I haven't finished. So
well, good. That means I don't. Does that mean I don't have to buy any?
Yeah, don't buy any.
That was literally on my list of questions to ask you. I need to buy?
I'm gonna buy a couple extra ones just so that we have, make sure we have enough. Because I know you don't totally love C4 as much as you like
Yeah, the ghost is my preferred.
And I only have two or three ghosts left, so I'll pick
up some. But also, let's be clear that my preference would be to go get coffee.
Sure.
Like, I would rather have coffee. Yeah, but
the only reason we didn't do it last time was because it was 18,000 below zero.
Yeah, it was not great. Which is one of the reasons why I bought energy drinks in the first place. I'll pepper you with questions next week as we pregame for the fifth LAN party.
Oh, wild.
LAN party 5.
LAN party 5. We'll pick up the dog on Friday, so she'll be here too.
Oh?
Probably.
Well, there'll be unless dog.
Unless Tiff takes her to her parents' house, which she probably will.
All right,
man.
Well, thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.